Did you know that on Friday, God works powerfully in people's life because of the death of His Son? This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Friday, TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. You know, every Friday can be a good Friday if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You know, accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior brings power to our life. And every Friday this year, I'm going to share with you stories of grace, love, and miracles to show that God is still very, very much active in our world. Long after Jesus died and rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, thousands of years later, God is still active in our life, because people struggle with that. They really struggle wondering if God still cares with all the pain in the world, with all the suffering, with all of the violence. People genuinely have concerns that maybe God's not active anymore in our world. So I want to address that every Friday this year. Okay? So here's a story, and it comes from the famous writer Max Lucado. He writes, "On any other day, I probably would not have stopped. Like the majority of people on the busy avenue, I would hardly have noticed him standing there. But the very thing on my mind was the very reason he was there, so I stopped. I just spent a portion of the morning preparing a lesson out of the 9th chapter of St. John's Gospel, the chapter that contains the story about the man blind from birth. I'd finished lunch and was returning to my office when I saw him. He was singing. An aluminum cane was in his left hand. His right hand was extended and open, awaiting donations. He was blind. After walking past him about 5 steps, I stopped and mumbled something to myself about the epitome of hypocrisy and went back in his direction. I put some change in his hand. 'Thank you,' he said, and then offered me a common Brazilian translation, 'And may you have health.' Ironic wish. Once again I started on my way. Once again the morning study of John chapter 9 stopped me. It said, 'Jesus saw a man blind from birth.' I paused and pondered. If Jesus were here, he would see this man. I wasn't sure what that meant, but I was sure he had not done it. So I turned around again. But I was sure I had not done it, so I turned around again. As if the giving of a donation entitled me to do so, I stopped beside a nearby car and observed. I challenged myself to see him. I would stay here until I saw more than a sightless indigent on a busy thoroughfare in downtown Rio de Janeiro. I watched him sing. Some beggars grovel in a corner, cultivating pity. Others unashamedly lay their children on blankets in the middle of the sidewalk, thinking that only the hardest of hearts would ignore a dirty, naked infant asking for bread. But this man did none of that. He stood tall, and he sang, loudly, even proudly. All of us had more reason to sing than he, but he was the one singing. Mainly he sang folk songs. Once I thought he was singing a hymn, though I wasn't sure. His husky voice was out of place amid the buzz of commerce. Like a sparrow who found his way into a noisy factory or lost fawn on an interstate, his singing conjured up an awkward marriage between progress and simplicity. The passersby had various reactions. Some were curious and gazed unabashedly. Others were uncomfortable. They were quick to duck their heads or walk in a wider circle. No reminders of harshness today, please. Most, however, hardly noticed him. Their thoughts were occupied, their agendas were full, and he was a blind beggar. I was thankful we couldn't see the way they looked at him. After a few minutes, I went up to him again. 'Have you had any lunch?' I asked. He stopped singing. He turned his head toward the sound of my voice and directed his face somewhere past my ear. His eye sockets were empty. He said he was hungry. I went to a nearby restaurant and bought him a sandwich and something cold to drink. When I came back, he was still singing and his hands were still empty. He was grateful for the food. We sat down on a nearby bench. Between bites, he told me about himself. 28 years old, single, living with his parents and 7 brothers. Were you born blind? No, when I was young, I had an accident. He didn't volunteer any details, and I didn't have the gall to request them. Though we were almost the same age, we were light years apart. My 3 decades had been a summer vacation of family excursions, Sunday school, debate teams, football, and a search for the Mighty One. Growing up blind in the third world surely offered none of these. My daily concern now involved people, thoughts, concepts, and communication. His day was stitched with concerns of survival, coins, hand dots, and food. I'd go home to a nice apartment, a hot meal, and a good wife. I hated to think of the home he would encounter. I'd seen enough overcrowded huts on the hills of Rio to make a reasonable guess. In his reception, would there be anyone there to make him feel special when he got home? I came whisker close to asking him, "Does it make you mad that I'm not you? Do you ever lie awake at night wondering why the hand you were dealt was so different from the one given a million or so others born 30 years ago?" I wore a shirt and tie and some new shoes. His shoes had holes and his coat was oversized and bulky. His pants gaped open from a rip in the knee. And still he sang. Though a sightless, penniless hobo, he still found a song and sang it courageously. I wonder which room in his heart that song came from. At worst, I figured he sang from desperation. His song was all he had. Even when no one gave him any coins, he still had his song. Yet he seemed too peaceful to be singing out of self-preservation. Or perhaps he sang from ignorance. Maybe he didn't know what he had never had. No, I decided the motivation that fit his demeanor was the one you'd least expect. He was singing from contentment. Somehow this eyeless pauper had discovered a candle called satisfaction, and it glowed in his dark world. Someone had told him, or maybe he told himself, that tomorrow's joy is fathered by today's acceptance. Acceptance of what, at least for the moment, you cannot alter. I looked up the Niagara of faces that flowed past us, grim, professional, some determined, some disguised, but none were singing, not even silently. What if each face were a billboard that announced the true state of the owner's heart? How many would say desperate, business on the rocks, or broken, in need of repair, or faithless, frantic, and fearful? Quite a few. The irony was painfully amusing. This blind man could be the most peaceful fellow in the street. No diploma, no awards, and no future, at least in the aggressive sense of the word. But I wondered how many in that urban stampede would trade their boardrooms and blue suits in a second for a chance to drink at this young man's well. Faith is a bird that sings while it is yet dark. Before I helped my friend back to his position, I tried to verbalize my empathy. Life is hard, isn't it? A slight smile. He again turned his face toward the direction of my voice and started to respond, then paused and said, "I better get back to work." For almost a block, I could hear him singing. And in my mind's eye, I could still see him. But the man I now saw was a different one than the one to whom I'd given a few coins. Though the man I now saw was still sightless, he was remarkably insightful. And though I was the one with eyes, it was he who gave me a new vision. End of the story by Max Lucado. I find that story very, very powerful. You know, the old saying, you have to play the hand that was dealt you, is true. And we have some real choices to make, don't we? We can, because all of us have some cross to carry in our life. We can bemoan it. We can become angry. We can throw a pity party. We can get into the victim mentality. Or we can make the best of the situation. If you only have lemons, the saying says, then make lemonade. Easier said than done, of course, I'll readily admit that. But it's Friday, TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. When on Friday we claim the power. On Friday we say, "Jesus, you overcame sin by your death and resurrection." We claim the power of the cross. Christians have to claim the power of the cross. One of the songs we sing in our church is Lift High the Cross. And so these Fridays this year, I'm going to talk about the power of the cross in concrete, real, true stories so that we can see that other people have done in their lives what God wants all of us to do in our lives. Okay, here's today's food for thought. Content makes poor men rich. Discontent makes rich men poor. You know who said that? Benjamin Franklin, one of the wise founders of our country. It's our call, huh? Happiness is a decision. You know who I want you to pray for today? I want you to pray for gynecologists. These are the doctors who help women. Help women with very important pregnancies. They help women deal with sicknesses. Gynecologists are very important in women's life, and we pray that they will be a gift in women's life, that they will help women, that their diagnosis is good and safe, and hopefully can bring about the health that women need. God bless gynecologists. All right, let me share with you some humor here. See if I can make you smile or laugh. This is going to be the last Adam and Eve joke I tell, because I've been telling them all this week, and it's Friday. Adam really must have thought he was living in paradise. Not once did Eve ask him to take out the garbage. Want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Why would you contact me? Well, I'd love to know if you're listening to the program. Do you find the program helpful? You might not always find the jokes funny, but do you find the program helpful? It's such a shot in the arm for me to hear from my listeners. Another reason why you could write me is with your prayer intentions. I faithfully take people's intentions to prayer. You can write me a letter or you can send me an email if you have the internet. I will storm heaven with you and for you. Recently I got one signed a desperate mother. She wants me to pray for her son who had lost his way. And I did. I stormed heaven. Another reason why you can contact me, write me, is to send me help. You know, I have this hospital for the very, very poor and sick, and way down in southern Mexico, in the state of Oaxaca, near the capital, which is also called Oaxaca. The poverty there is tremendous. I have this hospital that I try to keep open. It depends on the generosity of benefactors. Could you write a check to TASH, T.S. and Thomas, Tash, Inc., send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. God will bless you for the generosity. I'll pray for you. If you want to visit my website, and I think you'll like my website, go to fatherscott.com. Spell out Father, fatherscott.com. But make me an instrument of your peace. Where there's hatred, let me sow love. Where there's injury, pardon. Where there's doubt, faith. Where there's despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore Thee, God of glory.